Live from NPR News in New York City, I'm Dale Willman. Moscow is objecting to a cap on the price of Russian oil. The European Union and several other countries have agreed to cap the price at $60 a barrel in an attempt to limit revenue available to Russia and its war in Ukraine. Esme Nicholson has more.
EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen welcomes the price cap agreement, saying in a statement that it will hit Russia's revenues even harder and reduce its ability to wage war in Ukraine. She added that it will also help to stabilize global energy prices. The price cap will prevent companies headquartered in G7 and EU countries from trading or insuring Russian crude oil cargoes above $60 a barrel. The measure is expected to take effect from Monday, coinciding with the start of the European Union's import ban on Russian oil shipped by sea. The Kremlin rejects the cap and says it is currently analysing how to respond. For NPR News, I'm Esme Nicholson in Berlin.
Democratic U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock and his Republican challenger Herschel Walker are in the final hours of their runoff campaign in Georgia. Raul Bali, a member station WABE in Atlanta, says the two are taking very different approaches.
Warnock's Saturday schedule had three events, including a union rally and this rally for the Asian American community. It featured six Asian American members of Congress and celebrities, including actor Daniel Day-Kim.
We know that in Georgia, we are almost 500,000 strong, a number that's more than enough to be the deciding factor in a race as tight and as crucial as this one.
As for Walker's Saturday, he was at a tailgate party in Atlanta at the SEC football championship game, which featured the University of Georgia. Their Sundays also look different, as Walker has one rally scheduled in a conservative suburb of Atlanta, while Warnock has three rallies. For NPR News, I'm Raul Bali in Atlanta.
Funeral services were held Saturday for one of the victims in the Club Q shooting in Colorado Springs. Tony Gorman of Colorado Public Radio has more.
Doves were released as friends and family remembered Raymond Green Vance. The 22-year-old was known to be kind and selfless. His girlfriend, Cassandra Fierro, says he enjoyed his friends the most.
To Raymond, I'm going to miss you a whole lot. There's nothing I wouldn't do for you. I'm so happy that you're not in pain.
Vance was with Fierro's family celebrating a friend's birthday at Club Q on the night of the shooting. Her father, Rich, helped subdue the gunman. Services for the other four victims are scheduled for later this month. For NPR News, I'm Tony Gorman in Colorado Springs.
A strong earthquake shook parts of the main Indonesian island of Java on Saturday. The earthquake came just 2 weeks after an equally powerful quake killed hundreds of people. So far, there are no reports of panic, but very little damage. The quake was 5.7 in magnitude. This is NPR News. Iran's Attorney General Mohammad Jafar Montazeri says the government is moving to dismantle the country's religious police force known as the Guidance Patrols. Earlier, he announced that Iran's parliament and judiciary were reviewing the laws that require all women to wear a headscarf. The BBC's Ben Lowings has more.
Iran has been hit by a wave of anti-government unrest since September, when 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died in the custody of the Guidance Patrols. She was arrested for allegedly wearing her headscarf improperly. It's not clear exactly how the Iranian system of religious policing might change, or if protesters would see it as a concession. Officials admit that 200 people have died in clashes between police and protesters over the last 2 months. Observers say the real toll is much higher.
That's the BBC's Ben Lowings reporting. The rate of daily COVID-19 infections in China continues to go up, but the government Saturday announced a slight easing of restrictions there. For at least some cities in China, people will no longer be required to provide a negative COVID test before using public transit. The move comes following weeks of protests across the country over rigid COVID restrictions that are now entering their fourth year. The government of El Salvador has launched a major operation against gangs in that country who've been extorting businesses for money and ruling many neighborhoods around the capital city. 10,000 troops were sent to Soyapango Township Saturday to look for gang suspects. It's one of the largest operations to take place so far in what has become a 9-month effort to stop gang violence there. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News in New York.